The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, that is toward the gap left center field. It'll be caught by Dickerson. Story will tag and come home. Good at bat for Iannetta. And the Rockies take a 2-0 lead.
Colorado Rockies 2-0 over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And just, you know, it's like Dumb and Dumber. Just when I think I'm ready to bury, you know, you reel me back in here. And that's the Colorado Rockies. What are they, two games out of first right now? Something like that?
Two games out. They're right there.
They're right there. You know, better chance of winning the division right now than the wild card, because I think they're a bit out of maybe four or five games out of the wild card.
Not that bad, but it's they're two out of the wild card, too. Because the Braves and Dodgers are essentially right there. I mean, there's a chance only – in a weird way, one team from the West could get in.
Right.
And we're thinking three. It probably won't be three. But that East is just hanging around between the Braves and Phillies. And the Brewers, as you mentioned, are better than we thought. So, yeah, the Rockies, in terms of getting in the playoffs, have to think of finishing ahead of either the Dodgers or Diamondbacks.
Right. Well, Central, you're going to get the Cubbies and the Brewers, right?
One of those two is going to be in a wild card. Probably the Brewers.
Yeah. So one is going to win the division. One's going to be in a wild card. That's the way it looks as of right now. Now, I mean, injuries can happen and all those kind of things can go on, but the Rockies just keep on fighting, keep on hanging in there. They're a lot of fun to watch. Good for the Rockies. They keep our interest alive. Next,
Matt Schlereth. What a fan.
You ever come in with your boy, Five?
He does his own little workouts in the mornings.
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your own little workout in the morning? You starting your career how you want to. You see what I'm saying? It's a competition in everything you do, baby. You know how to do it.
That is sound from tonight's first episode of Hard Knocks. And I mentioned, most intriguing team in football, or one of them, kicks off tonight. It has nothing to do with football. It has to do with Hard Knocks, a TV show. Are you a Hard Knocks fan? Do you watch camp? Do you see that? I mean, does this thing kind of pique your interest?
It kind of hit its zenith for me with the Jets and Rex Ryan.
Right.
That was by far the best one. His profanity was hilarious. He was just so candid and off the cuff. The last few ones have been a little boring, I'll be honest. Jeff Fisher, I mean, he was human Eeyore. He was so hard to watch on TV, and it's just boring. It was just boring. The Cincinnati Bengals was a great one with Ocho Cinco. The Ravens one, which had Ray Lewis, Shannon Sharp.
Right.
You just, for me,
Saragusa, that
was a good one, right?
Right.
You need a couple of the player personalities to drive it. Now, Baker Mayfield, in theory, would. I just think he might be tempering it a little bit because when you're not the starter, if you're kind of taking over a TV show, it's probably not the best look. But we'll see. Hugh Jackson is a personable guy.
Mm-hmm.
How much edge can you have when you've won one game in 2 years? You know, I just it's good for them because any attention for them is good attention, frankly. I mean, because the Browns are just so god-awful. But I do like Hard Knocks because it does pull the curtain back to things we don't get to see. The media access to the NFL is totally different than any other sport. So I do like the meeting room stuff and the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Right.
I find that fascinating. But for me to watch the whole season, I need more personality.
I think, you know, being a former player and having lived it, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff doesn't really intrigue me because I've seen I've lived it. Like, I know what it's like behind the scenes. But this one, probably more than recent years, I haven't watched recent years. This one intrigues me more because the Browns have been such a train wreck, like an absolute train wreck. And it really does intrigue me to see exactly what Baker Mayfield looks like, you know, how Tyrod Taylor does. It just is. This one, for me, it piques my interest a little bit. Next in the Morning Brew.
There was a time or two where I thought I would not play football again, and I didn't think it was worth playing again. And I'm so glad to have worked through that. I've received a lot of help, you know, teammates, friends, family, fresh love, and also talking to some of my contemporaries and about things that they've gone through, and them sharing and opening up, you know, about themselves was also very helpful.
That's Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts, who, let's be honest, and this just is a tangent, does he not sound like he should be on a like Sesame Street? Like, there was a cavalcade that I mean, he just sounds like a Sesame Street. To me, like, hidey ho, you know? I mean, just sounds like a Sesame Street character.
He looks like a Civil War general, for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love that whole Civil War thing. But a time or two where Andrew Luck thought about walking away from football. You've seen the Civil War Andrew Luck guy, right? That he always writes letters home to his mom on Twitter. It's awesome. That is awesome.
The fact that he considered quitting just tells you what he's been through with that shoulder. And we'll see. I mean, I'm surprised that it got to that point.
Right.
Because you'd be walking away from, what, $70 million? I mean, but it tells you, and you dealt with injury throughout your career. Did you find in your first, like your significant injuries, was it harder to overcome the mental part, Mark, or the physical part? Because clearly with him, it's become a mental issue.
Right.
He was healed physically at some point last year, even kind of by his own admission. Getting over the mental hurdle of letting it go and throwing a football and trusting his arm again clearly has been a big hurdle for him.
I think mentally is the toughest part. You know, for me, I tore up my knee in college really bad, and what really saved my career is moving back over to the offensive side. Like, I just got so to the point where I'm trying to protect my body on
and
the defensive side.
And you can't be the player
side.
You want.
Right. And so you're just trying not to hurt yourself again. You know, it's funny. You remember Darren Bragg, who played for the Rockies?
Yeah.
And he's coming off an ACL injury. And Darren Bragg stops me. I took Daniel, my son, down to spring training in Tucson. And so I'm in the locker room, and we're doing, you know, we're hanging out, and we're putting the mud on the baseballs, the mud from whatever.
Mississippi mud.
Yeah, the Mississippi mud. We're rubbing the baseballs, and you know, like we're getting the full experience, right? And Darren Bragg stops me and just is like, hey, man, how you doing? What's going on? And I ask him how his knee's doing. And this is part of the mental aspect of it. And he goes, oh, it's okay. It's just not quite there. It's not quite there. And I said, Darren, you mind if I give you a piece of advice? And he goes, yeah, sure. I go, it'll never be quite there. I go, if you're waiting around to be 100%, I go, you're going to wait yourself out of the league. Like, it's good enough to play on. You got to overcome and say, this is my new 100%. It's 80% of what it used to be, but it's my new 100%, and I can play on this. And you've got to let that go. So anyhow, we have a nice conversation. I bump into him like 4 years later. At ESPN, he's coming through that deal, and he goes, he just pulled me aside. He goes, you saved my career. He goes, you saved my career. That mental shift saved my baseball career. Went on to play for another 5-6 years, whatever it was. Well, anyhow, I think the mental part is the toughest part to overcome. Next on the Morning Brew.
Diagnosing the defense is Rivers. Changing the play. Puts his hands to the helmet. 1 second. Snap. Looking right. Still looking right. Going to the back of the end zone. Keenan Allen. Catch. Touchdown.
Knock on wood.
That is, knock on wood, that's obviously from Chargers Radio right there. Philip Rivers talks about retirement. Philip Rivers, I think, you look at the way baseball is or football is constructed right now at the quarterback position. These guys are going to play. Like, Tom Brady just turned 41. Drew Brees is 39 years old. I think Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger are both like 36 years old, 37 years old, something like that. I mean, these guys, the end is not near. Like, for any of these guys, they're going to play deep into their – it looks like Brady's going to play deep into his 40s.
Well, I mean, if Brady wins it this year, it might be his last year. I would still be surprised if he plays it – if he enters a season at age 42. But, hey, again, like you said, they're not getting hit. It's a different game than it used to be. Rivers would be a shame when he retires because he's been the ultimate heel to the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
He's the WWE heel, and he loves it. He cultivates. I've never seen a quarterback love being the bad guy as much as he does, especially against Denver.
Right.
I mean, more than any other team. You know, guys hate him because he won't curse. He's like a little chihuahua. He just bark, 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 gap, gap,
right,
gap, gap.
Yeah.
But he never curses.
Uh-huh.
So you don't know how to react to it because he's got you so mad, but he's not mad in a way that's offensive and it's confusing. And remember when they put it up on the scoreboard and Manning freaked out when they beat the Chargers a couple years ago and they embarrassed Rivers? It was playing like – and Manning said, oh, yeah, it was inappropriate. Our scoreboard operator needs to have some more class. Rivers loved it.
Right.
He loved it. They put the thing on him, and the crowd booed him. It was straight out of WWE.
Yeah.
So I hope Rivers plays longer just because he's a fascinating watch.
He is, and it's funny that you mentioned that about Manning, because Peyton Manning is like...
My best friend, Peyton Manning.
There's a lot of things. Like, Peyton Manning gets these huge offers to come do television, and he has so much respect for the game, I think it would be really hard for him to criticize anybody. You know, I mean, there's just...
It wouldn't be his strength.
Yeah, it would just be hard for him to be able to be in that realm. You know, we're speaking about quarterbacks and obviously Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers. I want to talk about this quarterback matchup we have Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings, because it's really intriguing. And how much are you going to be watching quarterback to quarterback comparison from the Vikings to the Broncos? We'll discuss next.